Hello and welcome to Knitting Shop Live, the podcast recorded live and unscripted by your favorite knitting gals. We're your hosts, Brianna,
Happy,
and Natalie.
And a huge thanks to our listeners for joining us. So today is episode 165, and we are going to be talking about apps and like the food kind. So now it's time to grab your project or drink or go on that walk and tune in because we're getting started. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Should we start how we always do with what's on our needles?
Yes.
Nat, would you like to go first?
I was just going to say, is it reversed this week?
Absolutely.
Because you're hosting? Okay. I am working on this week my coming along very nicely. And I'm hoping that I will be close to finishing it this weekend.
Nice.
Very exciting.
Very cool. I am close to the finish line also. I am working on my little leftovers cowl. And that is the knitting class that I'm taking with you gals, Brianna.
Yeah.
And we have class on Wednesday night. And I will be ready. And I say this every week because we've been working on this since June, I think it was.
Yeah, we have.
Beautifully paced. It's not like it hasn't been overwhelming, but I have not gotten tired of this project. It's the six rows.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I keep repeating that, but it's fun. So I've enjoyed this a lot, but I'm looking forward to my new classes too.
I love it. I feel the same way about that project. It's been a really fun one. But this week I have a lot of projects that I just started, but I do want to show you guys, I just finished the anchor sweater. We had class the other night and I blocked it during class and I went away over the weekend, so I just like let it dry on the floor and it is done. I'm so excited to wear that. Well, okay. It's not done. I still have to weave in some of the ends. Like flipping the ends back and forth.
You just have one big ball yarn hanging on the back there.
Yeah. It's like my extra yarn at the neckline. But I'm thrilled about it. We had a really fun last class. We had like almost everybody was finished knitting. And if they weren't finished, they were like so dangerously close to being done knitting it. So that was last week since we didn't get a chance to chat. But this week I'm knitting on the Curran cardigan, and also I've been doing some of the hats in the chunky hat series for the knit side of things. Those have been really fun as well.
Love it. That's so exciting. Look at you.
Yeah, I have like five project bags hanging from my doorknob right now, and I've just been like cycling through them. It's I love starting new things. It's so fun.
It is.
All right, guys, well, let's jump into our episode topic. This is probably like one of the best topics that we could talk about because like we all love food, and we're talking about the food kind of apps, appetizers.
All right.
Should we talk about maybe like some of our favorites or like ones we like to make?
Yes, I can talk about this all night and we might. This might be a long episode. All right. So if I had to pick one appetizer to order at a restaurant for the rest of my life, it would be a good French onion soup, which is an appetizer as long as you just get the French onion soup. But my dream meal, if I'm making that my meal, is a French onion soup, a Caesar salad, and like a Diet Coke. That would be how I made that into a meal. But if I just have the soup, it's an appetizer. I could still have a cheeseburger with it, you know?
Interesting combination.
Oh, it's so
Coke. I love that choice there, Natalie. It's just the right flavor to go with those Caesar salad and the French onion soup.
Meal camps.
The beauty of that French onion soup, of course, is that it is versatile like that. It's appetizer or it is dinner or lunch or whatever. Oh. Okay, so I have to tell you guys, when we started talking about appetizers, I'm thinking, I haven't made appetizers for eons, but I flashed back to when I was your age. And when I was your age, it was like the late 70s, early 80s. And like I thought about it, like, oh my gosh, I wonder if people even make these things anymore. So I'm going to say one of my favorites from that time period, which I continue to make when I have an opportunity, is the cream cheese roll-ups.
Ooh.
All know those with the Lebanon bologna.
Yeah.
Nice little spread of cream. I do cream cheese on it, roll it up, slice it so it looks like pinwheels. So easy, but that's one of mine.
That's so such good. A good one. And I feel like it's really easy to make, but because it's like that pinwheel spiral shape, it looks really fancy.
Super fancy.
I love it.
And I love it. On top of it with one of those fancy toothpicks that have like the curly things on. You are like off the charts. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Top appetizing party.
That's like my ideal meal, is to eat a bunch of like a ton of little things that have fancy toothpicks in them. That's what I want to eat.
Have you guys seen it's just like a theme out there right now about girl dinner?
Girl dinner.
I feel like girl dinner is just like eating appetizers for a meal, and it is the best thing I can think of. My favorite thing to make as an appetizer and to eat is just like cheese and crackers. I love a nice cheese board, and it doesn't have to be fancy. We just get like, you know, one or two types of cheeses, one or two types of crackers, throw some olives on there, throw some nuts on there, and that's either a really nice appetizer to bring to a small get together or straight up dinner. I have eaten that in bed as dinner many nights.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Totally works too, doesn't it? So satisfied. You've got the crunch, you've got the salt, you've got the creamy. Yeah, it works.
That's so good. I'm so hungry.
You didn't eat before we came over tonight.
Chris is cooking me dinner, and it's not an appetizer based dinner. And now I'm sad, but I'm
so sorry.
Sure, it'll be delish. It's fine. But okay, my next appetizer pick is baked brie. I'm a big fan of melted cheese. If I can get melted cheese, I'm in. Baked brie is one of those things that I never make, but when it's at a party, I like am stationed at that table.
Yeah,
like I will not be leaving for the foreseeable future. I can't be more than 5 feet away from this baked brie. But I think it's like the flakiness of the pastry, the meltiness of the cheese, and then you're using another like cracker or something to eat it. It's a good balance of textures and taste for me.
I had that on my list also, Natalie, if I had to just put a line through it, baked brie, because it is one of those things that, you know, you just go, why don't I do this more often? And regular brie on a cheese tray, I'll eat a little bit of it, but baked brie, I could sit down and devour like the whole thing. We used to always put a fruit with it, and I didn't look soon enough that we would actually, you know, take the wheel of brie, put some fruit on top of it, and then the crescent around it, and I don't remember what that was.
I've had it with like fig jam, and I don't really like fig jam or figs, but I love it on baked brie.
Yeah, it's a great combo.
Yeah, I was thinking it was something like fig, but I couldn't remember. Okay, I'm going to throw a really wild one out there. And I even checked myself on this one with my friend to say, do you remember this? And they don't remember this. But it popped into my head. I looked it up. It is legit. So we used to do bacon roll appetizers. Do you know what that is?
No, but I need to know.
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to talk for a minute or two here because I even jotted this down. There are three ingredients and a toothpick.
Just a toothpick. I love a toothpick.
So it's bacon, white bread, and a can of cream of mushroom soup. And you crust off the bread, you flatten it down. If you have a rolling pin, that's great. But if you don't, you just use the soup can. You got that right there. You spread the soup. You do not make the soup. You just open the can and spread a little bit on each piece of bread. You roll the bread up, and then you wrap bacon around the roll and you secure it with a toothpick. And you bake it at 425 for 10 minutes. And it's amazing. And it is the bacon roll appetizers. And we need to bring them back because they sound horrible. Like, really? They are delicious.
As somebody who doesn't eat bacon, that sounds awesome. I feel like things that have cream of mushroom soup in them are, they always sound disgusting, but they're always so good.
It's so good.
There's something magic in there. All right. That was my last card.
So one of my favorite appetizers to make if we're like having dinner, just as like a something warm before dinner, especially like on a holiday, and I do change it up. I don't really stick to any recipes, guys. Even though I'm like really focused and driven in everything else, I don't do recipes very well. So all I do is buy a can of crescent rolls, like store brand, because they're cheap. And I throw whatever I have vegetable wise in the crescent roll with a little bit of cheese and roll it up and bake it just like you would a crescent roll, but like it's stuffed a little bit. So a lot of times I'll get like frozen chopped spinach, thaw that out, season it up, and mix it with just like shredded cheese, and that's my filling for the crescent roll. I've done it with like asparagus and cheese before. I've done it with like an olive tapenade before. Every single time, because it's in a crescent roll and those things are delicious, it's so good. And you kind of don't feel bad because it's stuffed with, you know, vegetables. So it's like you get a little bit of healthy stuff, a little bit of crescent roll action. It's good.
That's amazing. Yeah. That sounds so good.
It's one of those things where like you don't really have to think about it beforehand. You just need a can of crescent roll. You can throw anything else in there that you want, whatever you have left over.
So you've got me thinking, like at all times we need to have a roll of, I think, of crescent rolls in the fridge, because
I generally do.
Mm-hmm. It's versatile. Yeah.
Really? I'll have to start doing that. It's right on the list now with eggs, milk, crescent rolls. There we go.
Yeah. A staple. Ironically, my next one is crescent roll based. So Chris's family is really into doing the mini hot dogs, and they roll them in the crescent rolls and then they bake it. So you get like a little like faux bun that's a crescent roll. And if I am able to have a hot dog, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
But like if I can have 18 really tiny ones, that's more satisfying to me. So I am obsessed with the mini hot dogs and crescent roll buns. They're so good.
That's like the most elegant pigs in a blanket with a crescent roll. It's so good.
It's so good. Oh, pigs in a blanket. That's what they're called. I don't know. I don't call them anything. I don't think that far. It's just, I need to get that. I need to get that.
I totally just had to cross that one off my list also, because pigs in a blanket was big. And then to have, you know, the little side of like a honey mustard to dip it in with those crescent rolls and the hot dog. Oh, I know. It's like you've got that hot dog flavor, that flakiness, and that little sweet. It's the best. That is dinner. I mean, I'm with you, Natalie, too. One hot dog or six pigs in a blanket, I'll take the six pigs in a blanket.
Yeah, it's satisfying, right? Like you get to pick at it. Like I just feel like I ate more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And every new pig in a blanket, you feel like it's a new one and you're dipping it again. Yeah, it's the best.
Satisfying.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of like Mexican seasonings and like Spanish food seasonings. My sister-in-law actually got me onto this. It's a black bean salad. Ooh. And it's, again, like one of those things, it's really versatile. So if you're not a fan of like the cilantro lime flavor, you can do anything with black beans, but she does it so well. And every time like she has something in her house, she makes it. And I always end up taking whatever is left home because I just eat it with a spoon most of the time afterwards. But it's just like a can of black beans rinsed and drained, and you can add like chopped red onion, you can add corn to it if you wanted to do corn, but like literally just like fresh squeezed lime, cilantro, salt, and pepper, and it is the best snack. You eat it with tortilla chips or a spoon, whichever you prefer. But it's really good because it's a great appetizer, but you can add it to like your dinner the next day too, with like, you know, if you're making tacos, that could be some of the filling. I've been making these like black bean quesadillas this week. And I literally just like made a little bit of that black bean mix and put it in a quesadilla, and it was my dinner. It's so good.
What do you call that? Just black bean dip. It's,
yeah, and you don't like mash them. I would call it like a black bean salad, because yeah, it's just like, you know, whole black beans, whole corn, you know, a little bit of red onion. If you wanted to put tomato in there, you could. It's good mixed with guacamole too. You just have to keep them separate until you're ready to eat it, but it's good.
That would even taste good like in an omelet.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
so that, and the beans, how much better could that be?
Yeah.
So mine is similar to that, but we actually, back in my days, which is really probably super bad, it was refried beans. So ooh, it was a refried bean dip. And I lived on that until I got married, and Ed doesn't eat beans, but that was literally my dinner every night of the week for probably a year and a half as we were getting ready to get married. And it was just something, you'd open this can of refried beans, which you know what that looks like. Spread it in a pie pan, and then just top it off with kind of whatever you almost had, but typically it was just cheese, some seasoning, some cut onions or whatever, and shredded lettuce, and chip away for the rest of the night and call it dinner. I'd call it dinner, but it was always a great appetizer.
Oh, but yeah. Girl dinner, Kathy.
Girl dinner. I go down girl dinner because I'm like, I haven't heard of this girl dinner thing.
It's so great.
So it means you get to eat whatever you want because there's no boys around.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's also like, you know how when you're home alone, you like will eat a bagel or something for dinner if that's what you have in the house. But like, for whatever reason, the men always need an actual meal. I don't know. Like, I will eat a bagel and an apple and like some potato chips and like something sweet, and that's a meal for me.
Yeah. Love mm-hmm. it. Yeah, you would never go, what Chris says, what are we having for dinner today? A bagel?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I can't, like, there is no doing that, I feel like. I don't know.
Love that term, girl dinner. All right.
All right, my next one's guacamole. And this is a tricky one. This is one of those things where I'm either making it for a lot of people or I am gearing up to eat an entire bowl of guacamole by myself, because you've got one night. Like, it counts. Yeah. You have to make the right amount or like you're throwing it out the next day. Yeah. So a lot of times when I make guacamole, I like commit to eating way more guacamole than a normal person should, because I refuse to waste it. I love it.
All right. This is going to sound so simple, but because we really didn't do guacamole back in my day. So I'll have it if I'm at a party, but I don't know enough about it to actually serve it. It goes bad that fast, or it just doesn't have the right texture, or.
Once you like cut an avocado, it like typically will go bad within a day or two. Like if you cut an avocado and use half of it, you can put the other half in water face down and it will stay for like a day or two. But if it's mashed, you're kind of SOL. It might last for a day, but typically, like I've found when I make fresh guac, it's not good the next day. So
it turns brown once that thing is open really fast. There's a lot of different like hacks you can do to keep it fresh, but it really, if you're serving it at a party, it really only works for the length of the party. Like there's a hack where if you put the pits of the avocado in the guac, ooh, that'll help keep its color better. But again, like it doesn't last for more than a day after that still.
Yeah. My personal favorite thing in the entire world is when you go to a really nice Mexican restaurant and they make your guac table side with like a mortar and pestle. That is one of the things I will pay so much money for, that experience. I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
I find it to be just sublime. So
yeah, I never experienced that. I didn't even know that existed. I'm challenged though, because Ed, well, it's not like Ed has to, he doesn't do Mexican. He doesn't do Mexican. So it's a little tricky around here. Yeah, but it might have to be a girl dinner one day, or, you know,
girl dinner. Commit to the
walk. Kathy, John is actually allergic to avocado, so we could have guacamole for girl dinner together.
We have guacamole. Let me know. We'll get together.
You know, Trader Joe's has a fantastic Greek yogurt guac that does stay for more than a couple of days. I think it's the Greek yogurt that helps it, like, stay fresh.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we always have that in the fridge. It's awesome.
Wow.
Good to know. I love Trader Joe's.
All right, am I up next?
Yes, you are.
I gotta tell you, I'm getting down to basics here. Like, that's my repertoire of I love to eat appetizers. I love to go to a party and fill up on appetizers, but I don't really do them a lot. But we would always onion dip and potato chips, and it would always be the wavy potato chips. They were like a real special thing back when you get friends together in the 70s or 80s, because your parents never had wavy potato chips. So it was just onion dip, and we would make our own onion dip. Of course, it was the sour cream and the, instant onion soup.
Yeah.
I forget.
Is it Knorr?
Is it Lipton?
I think it is Lipton. Yeah. I was doubting myself on that one. I was like, that's a tea company, but I think you're right.
No, they definitely do the mix.
I think it's Lipton, but anyway, that was always kind of like the little basic one, but I don't know. For some reason it just always tasted good, especially appetizers that you're sharing with friends, you know, when you're actually hanging out. And, yeah. So good old onion dip and wavy chips.
Nice. Yeah, I only have like one or two more also, and this one is not something that I have ever made myself, but if I'm going out and it's on the menu, I'm gonna get it, and it's bruschetta. I feel like, especially at an Italian restaurant or like in a location that's like a little more Italian than other places, you can tell how good their food is gonna be by how good the bruschetta is. And It's just like the texture and the flavor. I don't know. Like, I just really love that, like, acidic, the like balsamic vinegar. I love that flavor on like that crunchy little crispy toast piece. So good. I don't even know what it's called. Again, I've never made it in my life, but I appreciate good bruschetta.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's those fresh tomatoes too. Like, this time of year, I feel like I'm not one to just like eat vegetables out of the, you know, box or, you know, the carton. But this time of year with tomatoes, I just pop them right out of the carton. It's crazy how good they are just alone. And then when you have someone who makes a good bruschetta on top of that with good tomatoes, oh my God.
Yeah.
So good.
I love it. Okay, mine's unhealthy, very unhealthy compared to bruschetta. Buffalo chicken dip, that is another appetizer where I will not be far. And I've tried a lot of them in my time because I'm a fan. But my one friend makes it really like the best I've ever tasted. And her secret, I'm sorry if I'm sharing your secret, Becky, is that she uses canned chicken. Not like a chicken breast, which I didn't even know existed until I got her friend her recipe for this dip. Yeah. So
that makes sense, like almost like it's like the tuna in a can.
Yeah,
this has a different flakiness to it, and and it would just be perfectly made into that dip. As I'm making my hands do what I think the dip does. So anyway,
I love it.
Hand signals.
Yep,
that's awesome.
All right. I will go with my, I got to say, I think this is my very last one on my list is spinach dip. So it's right. We're getting back into the dips and spinach dip, which is actually about the only thing I can make, but I do it so basic. I do not even put in the water chestnuts because typically I probably wouldn't even have some water chestnuts around or remember to buy them. And of course, there was the time that I was making it for a family Christmas party, went to the store probably stroke of midnight on Christmas Eve when the store was closing. And the one ingredient I forgot to buy for the spinach dip was the spinach.
Oh no.
What went through my mind is, well, what else could I use? And it's like, there's nothing else you could use for spinach dip. But I do like spinach dip. I do like making it. And the leftovers, I will just like toast a piece of bread and spread it on there and eat it as a sandwich. So,
oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That the dip on a toasted bagel the next morning too.
Ooh.
I've put spinach dip, don't judge me, because I love spinach dip too. I put that in like my omelet instead of cheese. It's so good.
That's genius.
I know. I dips are the most versatile food. You could put anything in an omelet and call it breakfast.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking we could take any of these appetizers, I think, except for maybe the cream cheese roll-ups. Oh, who knows? That might work too.
Yeah.
And put it in an omelet. They all work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, do we have any other favorites that we want to chat about?
The only thing I'll say is that anytime I think about like appetizers, I always think about when I get together with my friends from high school. For whatever reason, it's like the same spread every time. It is queso and chips and brownies that my friend Erin makes. And she makes the best brownies in the world. And I know that's not an appetizer, but when you're sitting there and just like chatting and like hanging out and that's the food on the table, it's just, I don't know, it always like our sign that we're all back together in the same place again. So that one is, that combo is near and dear to my heart.
Absolutely. That's so cool. And I think that's part of the whole appetizer experience is typically while we're eating appetizers, if we're not doing it at home, but we're at a party, we're having a conversation, we're making memories. And look at that, like how many years later, it is the queso and the brownies and appetizers have a place in our lives. There they go.
And I will say our appetizer in my mind, you guys, of choice, is a Snickers from the fridge that we cut into thirds.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Am I right or am I right?
Definitely right.
Absolutely right. And that all started with the Betty White advertisement and Hangry. Wasn't it the Hangry thing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yep. That's cut cool. One cut into three pieces. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yes. Appetizers bring people together.
You do. Anytime I eat a Snickers, it's what I think about. I'm like, first of all, this would taste better if it was refrigerated. You know, I feel like I should be sharing this with people.
So Natalie, now I'm gonna have to do this because I do have the refrigerator from the knitting shop up here on the third floor with me right now. And I'm always just wanting to look over there and imagine that there's a Snickers sitting in there for us. So anyway, I'll have to get a Snickers for the fridge.
Yeah. Gotta have one for next Monday. Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, is there anything else that we want to chat about in terms of appetizers? That was great. I hope everybody got really good ideas from all of our ideas.
Yeah.
All right.
Makes you want to have friends over, doesn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. Makes you want to host a get together for sure. Yeah. Well, do we want to chat about our favorite somethings for this week? Anybody have a favorite something?
I do. And mine, I feel like I've said this one before, but my favorite something is like a window fan. There's something about a window fan that's different than a ceiling fan. And in like the best way possible, the white noise of it. I feel like I have recently slept way better than I typically do because I've moved to a place where now I have a window fan.
Mm. Yeah, the little bit of sound and the air that it brings in. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you, I thought I was ready with my favorite thing, but I'm just changing it up. And I have to tell you, I haven't even tried it yet, but it's going to be my favorite thing. So I'm just going to say it. I was out yesterday morning having breakfast with a friend at a diner. And as we were walking out the door, my friend pointed to this, and it is a aerosol can, and it's Sprayway World's Best Glass Cleaner Foaming Action. Ammonia free. And she's like, that's what I use. And so she's like, it leaves no streaks. And I've been using Windex all my life. And all of a sudden I've got these film and streaks on my windows that I cannot get off. Yeah. So I'm going to be trying this. So it's Spray Away, World's Best Glass Cleaner. She gets it at Target.
Mm.
I haven't tried it, but it's already my favorite thing.
Yeah, but you have to let us know how that works, because I feel the same way about Windex and other glass cleaners. They don't work. We've actually been using like a very heavy duty, almost commercial grade window cleaner, and it smells like it's not safe. Like, I don't feel safe using it. So I prefer not to use what we're using now, even though it works really good. It just seems like it's not good for my health.
Yeah. Some things that smell too strong. Yeah. I will let you know how that works. I'm going to get it. I took a picture of it and I'm getting it.
Wonderful. All right. And my favorite thing this week, I'm going to be talking about this for the next several weeks, and I apologize, but I finally today had this feeling that fall is coming. Oh. And with fall coming, that means Halloween is coming. So today, Monday, August 21st, has started my Halloween war path. So I'm like planning my fall with fall activities, Halloween, spooky things. It's going to be a jam-packed month of October for me. So my favorite thing is, maybe I should say it's Google Sheets, because it's helping me keep track of the things I want to do and when I'm going to do them.
I love it. You are serious.
I'm serious. I feel like every year the fall just like comes and goes in the blink of an eye, and it's my favorite season. And Halloween is just such a fun holiday. I love spooky stuff. I love ghosty, dark things. And I miss it every single year. So this year I am committed to having my free time be fall themed. Fall activities galore.
Cool. All right.
Well, awesome. What is for dinner, guys?
Well, Chris has been out on the grill. He's making sausage and veggies. So there's some like grilled veggies and grilled sausages. Very excited.
Nice. That sounds delicious.
I'm very excited. It's going to be good.
Okay. And our dinner, actually, we did have dinner already, and I had broiled tuna, and it was a fresh catch by your father, Brianna.
Oh, was it?
Lucky.
Oh, it was so delicious. I feel so lucky. I said to Ed, oh my God, we were both just ooing and ahhing the whole time. And then I had a side. I'm not a big Trader Joe shopper, but there is one in Delaware that I really like. It's a little more open and easier to see everything in there. So I was just there yesterday and I got their rigatoni alla contadina. So that was our side with it. And it was good, but really, the tuna was delicious. Yeah. Yeah.
It always looks so good. I see it every once in a while when they, you know, my dad brings it home.
Yeah.
Like, man, that is like fresh. Like fresh. It looks fresh. It's great.
Fresh is amazing.
That's amazing.
All right. And then for dinner tonight, I actually ate before the podcast, which is like unheard of. But I made sweet potato black bean quesadillas with that black bean salad.
Love it.
My dinner tonight. But we have, so we're in the middle of doing our kitchen and we got new appliances a couple months ago. So the stove that we have now has a centerpiece that is a flat top. It's like a griddle. And it is like the perfect quesadilla maker. It's genius. I don't know how I have lived almost 30 years without something like that. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. So if you want to make quesadillas, come to my house. I'll make it for you.
Don't tempt me with a good time, Brianna.
All right. And then do we have any news updates for anybody?
No. All I'll say is Roots is taking enrollment for our fall calendar. So if you're feeling fall like Brianna is and you're ready to get back to school in some way, shape, or form, come join a knitting class or a crochet class. It's a lot of fun. And we are your teachers, and we've been doing it for a really long time, and we have so much fun doing it. So we would love to have you in a class.
Yes, we would. And I want to shout out, because we have 5 spots left, but we are having a fall yarn tasting with 6 new Barocco yarns in September. We actually have the yarn ready to go with, you know, the kits to send out to everybody. But again, we have very limited spots left. There's 5. So if you haven't signed up yet, make sure you sign up. That's always a fun time. It's just like an hour event where Natalie and I do a yarn pairing with something out of the park, and it's always a good time. It's always fun.
It's such a great way to try a yarn too before you make a big commitment to it and then go, oh yeah, this is great. Now that's what I want to use for my next project or whatever. And just a quick endorsement, this is the perfect time to like go, let me put something on my calendar now for September. Like I find I don't want to wait until September and then go, now what can I do? Because it's such a shift of season and schedules. Now's the time to save it. I just saved another class. I'm doing the Swaddle Buddies.
Yes, the Swaddle Pals. That's going to be so much fun.
I'm in the Swaddle Pals. So, all right. And I just have one announcement. So we'll try to do this again next week. It will be episode number 166. And the topic is, here's the whisper, what stops you from doing the things you want to do?
All right. I like that.
Yeah. What stops you from doing the things that you want to do? So, all right.
All right. Well, let's wrap this up here. We wonder, are you listening? Please add a review to where you listen to KSL, and don't forget to share us on Facebook and Instagram to let us know that you are listening and we're making a difference. And we'd love to hear from you individually. And we invite everybody to join us as a guest on a future podcast. There's never a commitment. There's no work involved. You just have to show up to when we record and have a good time with it. So you can email either Kathy or Natalie and I. Our emails are in the show notes if you would like to be on a future podcast with us. So hopefully you finished your project, drink, or walk by now, because it's time for us to bind off. Thanks for listening.